God is so good. There's such a great anointing in His house this morning. And thank all of you for coming. I really want to say this from my heart, that Goldsboro got churches everywhere, and you could have chose to be anywhere today, but you chose to be here. And I want you to know from my heart, I really appreciate that. It means a lot to me for you to be here today. I want us to go back. We've been talking now for the last few weeks. I thought I was done with this and should maybe get done with it today, but we've been talking about Jesus' Sermon on the Mount when He came to present something new. He's made some statements. So if you go with me to Mark chapter 13, we're going to pick up there. Last week, you remember, we covered Josephus, who was a first century historian, shared a lot of history about what Jesus did and how it came to pass, and just proven over and over again that He was the Son of God. And we talked about the temple, because the temple was the issue at this time. The temple was what they worshiped. And Jesus came to present God. That God was not in a building. And we talked about last week that how magnificent and how much of a magnitude that building was and how it was built. You remember some of the specifics that we gave you was that when they rebuilt that temple, or they built that temple, the walls were 100 feet high. The temple itself was 60 feet high. It was made out of cut stone, and the stones were about 11 by 14, 44 feet long. Magnificent, massive stones. And how they orchestrated, they were well over, every stone was well over 5,000 tons. I can't imagine that, and just how they orchestrated and built it, how they even put it all together. And Jesus was talking. They were in the temple, walking through this temple, Him and some of His disciples. And Jesus makes a couple of statements. One statement He made is that there's a greater one than the temple here. Well, the disciples heard that, and they didn't quite understand it because of the environment of the temple. You see, the temple was everything. They worshiped the temple more than God. God is not in buildings. Thank God for our beautiful church that He allows us to have, but these walls are not God. God is in our hearts. He lives in our hearts. My car can be a temple. Your house can be a temple. Your job can be a temple. It's wherever God is. Wherever you are, that's where God is. And Jesus came to break that mentality, because there was a misconception of who God was, and God wasn't in all that. You remember one occasion Jesus said, "I'm the way. I am the way. I'm the truth." Pointing itself to Him, Jesus, the Son of God, was the way. But they didn't understand that. And so from the Sermon on the Mount, they began to change their attitude toward Jesus. And they immediately declared that He was rebellious and that He was a rebel, because He had come to desecrate Moses and desecrate what Moses did. And I've asked God to give me so much revelation on this, because there's so much of that going on today. And I said, "Lord, help me to be real with this. Help people to understand that God is not in forms and fads." I love what Margot said. God is about relationship. Amen. Our country is great because it's got people in here who believe God. Thank you, Margot, for bringing that out this morning. And Jesus made a statement as he stands in this temple, and he begins to see that his disciples were a little overwhelmed with the magnitude of this temple. And he said, there's a greater one standing, greater than the temple. The one greater than the temple is here. What? And then he adds to it when he says, what you see here is going to be destroyed. What you see here, no stone is going to stand upon another. Now that blew their mind. Because you got to understand, they're sitting here looking at this awesome building. And Jesus says that no stone is going to be left one upon the other. Now, go with me to Mark chapter 13, because Jesus addresses, they're walking through this temple, and they leave the temple and they go to Mount of Olives. They're in the Mount of Olives, which was just a little ways from the temple. As a matter of fact, you can see the temple from where they were to rest. That's basically why Jesus went there. But he also used it as a teaching moment because he saw that his disciples were confused. And so he carries him there to talk to them because they were really messed up right here. Okay, Jesus, we understand that you're great. We believe that. We've been following you now for 3 years. And we believe that, and we know that you're greater. We're not really quite sure about all the temple stuff. But then when you made the statement that all this was going to be torn down, and when you really read it according to the way it's written, it not says tore down, it says thrown down. That all these 5,000 ton stones are going to be thrown down into the valley below, behind the temple. They tell me that you can go to Holy Lands right now, and on the south side, you still see some of these stones laying there. That's overwhelming to me. But those disciples were saying, you got to help us with this. And so in Mark chapter 13 is an illustration of that. It said, as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples, I mean chapter 13 of Mark verse 1, one of his disciples said, Master, see what manner of stones and buildings are here? Don't you see what's going on? And Jesus actually said unto them, seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another. And look what it says, that shall not be thrown down. God is powerful. I want y'all to know that. We're living in a society now that says, oh, this God stuff, this religious stuff, they're just a bunch of fakes. They're just messing with your mind. They just want your money. They want all this. Don't you listen to that. But let me tell you, let me add to that. Don't get caught up in people, because your relationship doesn't need to be with people. And your relationship doesn't need to be between you and a preacher, you and whoever. Your relationship's between you and God. Your relationship doesn't have anything to do with a human, because a human's going to be human and they're going to let you down. That's the reason Jesus said that I'm the one that you need to turn to. So Jesus is saying, because he sees that they're just marveled about all this, and he's about to lose them because they're getting wound up in the system. We live in a world that says unless you follow the system, you're not going to make it. But God said, I'll make a way where there is not a way.
Amen.
God says, I am the way. So God is what you need him to be.
Amen.
On one occasion, he said, who shall we say sent us? He said, tell him I am sent you. I've made this statement before, but let me say it again in case you forgot it. I am being whatever you need him to be. That's what he can be. That's an awesome God. He's bread for the hunger. He's healing for those that are battling. He's a God that has sat up with you all night long when you're worried and overwhelmed, and his peace will come in and it'll pass all understanding, because there's no reason why you should be peaceful, but you are.
Amen.
You want to know why? He's the Prince of Peace. Mm-hmm. And so these guys, for a moment, just like Peter did when he walked on the water, for a moment looked at the circumstance and was overwhelmed with it. I hear what you're saying, God. I hear what you're saying, Jesus. But you're about to lose your mind, because I don't see none of this, because Herod built this temple. Let me add this to you. Through studying Josephus and all, Herod built that temple to be earthquake proof. So not even an earthquake was going to bring it down. But when God waves his hand, God will take his finger. He don't even need his whole hand. And move things. How do you think they crossed over the Red Sea? How do you think that God took his finger and walked and moved it across? You got to understand, he's the one, when there was nothing, became something. You got to understand, God coming from Teman, meaning nothingness. God came in from nothingness and called where there was nowhere to call, and spoke where there was nowhere to speak, and there became. That's a bad God. So Jesus is catching them right here. And the disciples saying, look at all this. In verse 2, Jesus answered and said, see that all this is going to be thrown down. And then in verse 3, so he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple. And there was Peter, there was James and John and Andrew. They got with Jesus privately. And they said, okay, Jesus, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? You see, Jesus is saying here, and he's not saying this in an arrogant, boastful way. He's heartbroken. Because there's so many people that get wrapped up in the stuff and they don't see Jesus. I want you to understand that God's a God that loves you unconditionally. I want you to hear this very clearly. We classify ourselves or categorize ourselves on our level of Christianity. Well, I don't go to church that much. I don't know very much about the Bible. I wasn't taught about the Bible. So we go automatically classify ourselves as someone that's in need or someone that's pushed aside. But I want you to understand this. God died for every one of us on the same level. When you go to God and He forgives you of your past, and the Bible says, never to be remembered again. If you ever hear your past come up in your mind, it is not coming from God. Do you hear me? It is coming from an enemy who wants you to understand that you are nothing but your past. You are nothing but your failure. You're nothing but what you've been through. You're nothing but rejected. But that is a lie from the pit of hell, because God is a God who renews daily. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how bad things are in your life. You see, that's why we ought to be people that can love one another no matter what. I said last week, and I'll reiterate it now, there are people today who don't feel like they can go to church, because church was created for perfectionists, and the ones that's creating all this perfection, they are not perfect either. People leave church by the droves when they have problems. When they find out their brother is homosexual, or they find out that someone has had a divorce, or they find out that there's issues or problems, and we can't bring that to church. That's where you ought to be able to bring it to. Can you stay with me a few minutes this morning?
Amen.
And that's what Jesus didn't want them to get wrapped up in. You see, all their life, all they've heard is rules and regulations. You remember I told you last week where Jesus walked through a cornfield, and you know, you got to understand the crew he had. I mean, when you understand their background, I mean, really, They were like us. They were rough bunch.
Amen.
They cuss you. They drink. I mean, they had problems. I mean, they cut you. One day, Jesus was in conversation with a guy, and Peter pulls his blade out, cuts the man's ear off. Jesus standing there, oh my God. So the Bible says Jesus reaches down, picks the man's ear up, puts it back on his head, heals him, and said, man, I'm sorry about that. Hey, man, I am sorry. I'm dealing with this guy. I'm working with him one-on-one, but it is rough. I want you to understand that. And Peter's over there in the background cussing or something. I don't know. Well, I meant to cut his head off, but I just got his ear. That's the kind of crew he was working with. Just like us.
Amen.
But Jesus wanted us to understand that it ain't all about that. Because when he comes into your life to save you, boy, this is church is about a healing place. Church is about a place that you can come and God's here. Guess why he's here? Because you're here. Because he's living in your heart. And my time is gone. So you got to come back next week.
Amen.
You got to come back. Because I got so much I want to share with you, and I don't want to rush through it because you got to get it. But Jesus is getting ready to understand. So what we're going to do when you come back next week, we're going to talk about that what happened from the conversation that Jesus had 40 years later. We're going to talk about 40 years later from the conversation that Jesus has and how there were gangs in Rome and how everything was happening in Rome trying to overthrow the government. And you're going to see how, if you'll come back next week, I'll tell you how the walls came down just like Jesus said they would. Just like Jesus said. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word today. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share your word. Thank you, God, for this opportunity to be here among Northview Church. Thank you for the beautiful people that have assembled here today. And thank you for your word and thank you for biblical history. Thank you, God, that we stand up here and we don't give our words, we give your words. And God, we thank you that you have given us a history that proves to us time and time again that you're a God of your word. That you're a God of your word. Thank you, God, that you are perfection. Thank you, God, that even though we're not perfection, you love us anyway. Thank you, God, for everything you are. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, turn to page 73. And as always, I want you to know that if you're here today and you say, this is a beautiful song we're getting ready to sing. This is an old song right here. It is well with my soul. If you're here today and you've been hurt and you feel like that something's happened in your life that has pushed you away from God and away from people, I want you to know, first of all, you're never pushed away from God. Because he's there with us. Amen. Amen. Let's sing this song, first verse.